What's going on, everybody? Cody Pasby back with you. It's another edition of Wax Packs and Warning Tracks, Mojo Breaks Baseball Card Podcast. We made it to May, the second month on the baseball calendar. April was an exciting month, and really the storyline right now, it's New York, New York, baby. The greatest city in the world is a baseball town. You better believe it. The Mets, the Yankees, the two best teams in baseball. Subway Series, here we come. Collision course, baby. Not yet. That's not what we're going to talk about. West Coast bias on today's episode because the greatest rivalry in professional baseball. Yes, I said it. Come at me, Red Sox fans. Come at me, Yankee fans. The Giants, the Dodgers. Another chapter added to the storied rivalry starting as of this recording today. And I am joined by an adversary when it comes to the baseball diamond, but a friend in the breaking community, Stephanie Garcia. You know her on Instagram at Mama Breaks. You can watch her breaks at Card Shop Live. I had to get Stephanie on to talk about breaking, obviously talk about sports cards, baseball cards, but I gotta get a perspective from behind enemy lines. My beloved Giants are taking on the Dodgers once again in what looks like a division rivalry to end all division rivalries. This is as good as this rivalry has ever been. 107 wins for the G-men last year, 106 for the Dodgers, and the Giants and Dodgers once again neck and neck. Yeah, the Padres are there too, but it's the Giants and the Dodgers. That's what it's going to be until proven otherwise. I talked to Stephanie about the Giants and Dodgers and much, much more. Here is my conversation with Stephanie Garcia. Stephanie, first of all, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Cody. I'm excited to be here despite all the Giants stuff.
So. we'll get into that a little bit. Just a little bit of like I said, I know you're a diehard Dodger fan, so had to represent for my team. Although I will say, me wearing the postseason shirt, I feel like that's just like I'm just giving you. Just giving you fodder here. It's like, hey, you're still rocking a postseason shirt of a series you lost. So, maybe a bit of a softball I threw to you there.
Yeah, I do that too. I have a few of those. So,
yeah, exactly. They, you know, those ones, some years I think maybe get into the back of the closet. Like, yeah, I don't want to remember. I'm sure for you, like, yeah, you know, the 2017 NLCS NL champ shirt can stay in the back for a little bit. I don't need to remember that. 2002 stuff is like way, like I don't even know where it's at anymore. So yeah, we could at least, we at least are in common there. So, before we start talking about them, I always ask everybody about sort of their hobby history, what got you into the hobby or got you back into the hobby. So for you, what was it? Is baseball cards was the number one thing that really got you, into the hobby?
Yeah, so it's really cool. I started actually collecting Pokemon. That was like my first love when it came to collecting trading cards. And once I was a little older, I started playing sports. I fell in love with playing softball, then watching the game of baseball. So I kind of took that love of trading cards from Pokemon and said, you know, I'm going to start mostly just ripping baseball packs. Yeah, the collecting aspect of it, I didn't know too much about yet. So at that point anyway, so I was like putting them on my binder, you know, taking them with me, all my Kershaw cards, of course.
Yeah, it's definitely sounds like a familiar story. I think it's like, for me, it was the same thing. It was the Pokemon cards evolves into, like, once you start watching baseball, playing baseball, it's like, oh yeah, they got cards of those too. So just that like natural next step. How about the origins of Mama Breaks? How did you get started here in the breaking community? What inspired you to get started?
So specifically, as a coming into a card, being a card collector again, that's where I started deciding to collect seriously. It was my dad's my stepfather's birthday, and I wanted to get him a nice basketball card because, you know, I was hearing about everything happening in the hobby and all that. And I started figuring out that there are so many more beautiful cards that I knew existed when I was ripping baseball packs. And that's how I kind of just told my husband, you know what, I'm going to collect cards because I want a hobby. And one thing led to another. He's like, you know, you should do the breaking thing. And we went for it. So, and here we are 1 year later, pretty much.
That's incredible. I mean, the growth you've had in this first year. Have you been surprised by it? What have been the biggest surprises for you getting in back into the community and as a breaker? The things that have kind of either surprised you or just really just have been a happy experience for you so far that you've seen here in just like a year's time. It's been incredible to see a rise for you, and obviously congrats on so much success in an early amount of time. So what has been the most pleasant surprise for you early on?
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
The biggest surprise for me, honestly, is the community in general, like how large it is. You know, it's very surprising to me how many just card collecting accounts I see, new ones that I see pop up every day. You know, this isn't a community that I thought was as apparent as it is on social media. You know, I think there's so many card collectors in the world, but I didn't know everyone was doing it so publicly on social media. That was very surprising. And another thing is just how positive everyone is. Like, it's not, I've had so many positive experiences that I think my relationships that I've made with people is what I can attribute my success to the most, I think. And just meeting new people, and like just this past weekend, I think I was telling my husband, one of the craziest things that has happened to me so far is essentially someone telling me on Saturday that I inspired their daughter to collect, their 15-year-old daughter to collect, and they actually tried to make the trip down to meet me. That was just an incredible experience that I'll never forget. Yeah, that's the magnitude of, I'm realizing now what I've been doing, you know. So
that's awesome, man. That's so wonderful to hear. And especially, you know, there's been so much talk too about getting younger people into the mm-hmm. hobby, and how it's been, you know, I think there is sort of a this, especially the last couple of years as things have gotten so huge, this like talk of like, is it getting too much? Like, we have to remember who this is all about. It's like, you know, and we're talking about it. You said it at the beginning, how we all started. We started collecting whatever it was, Pokemon or baseball or whatever, and just opening packs and not knowing what you were going to pull. And that's what it's all about. So it's amazing to see you just really coming full circle for that moment. That's got to be incredibly rewarding. That also just kind of crossed my mind, getting kids back into this and like the fun of that, and how there's been we talked about it last week on our flagship podcast, The Hype, about sort of this sort of mini controversy that was going on in the baseball card world, that the one of one Wander Franco card was pulled out of a retail pack, supposedly, reportedly, caused like a mini stir in the hobby. And it was just like, you know, again, hearing what you just said right there reminds me, like, imagine, you know, she's now into this and she goes to a store and she picks that out. Like, how is that not good for the hobby, you know?
I honestly think, I don't know, that the hobby was made for kids and we're just now getting back into it. Because I think card collecting was huge when we were growing up. Like, you can't deny the impact of Pokemon cards. Like, I think for so many of us, that really, you know, bridged that gap where we became older, Pokemon wasn't cool anymore. Now we love sports, so we're collecting sports cards, you know, for specifically our age range. Like, I'm assuming you're my age range, but where was I going with this? Just the ability for someone to pull it out of a retail pack, I think, is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that just shows you that it doesn't matter how much money you make or what kind of cards you have, if you enjoy ripping, collecting what you can afford, that's all that matters.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the fun of it too, like you said, it's for kids. It's you know, obviously there is now stuff that are catered to us as older,
yes,
you know, and the mm-hmm. As collectors who maybe want to go with something a little bigger here and there. But yeah, it's all about play with, you know, opening with kids. I have packs where I open now with my nephews. I give them stuff and they just mm-hmm. get a kick out of it. I'm sure. Yeah, with your own kids, maybe. Do you guys have, as a family, do you have little rip parties as a family?
Yeah, I like ripping Alan and Ginter with my kids.
Oh, nice. They That's have, a like, great the, one.
Yeah, the sharks and the trees and the worms and stuff. So yeah, like, they don't know who baseball players are yet. They're very little, but they love pulling a shark or a bird.
That's the perfect one to do with the kids, because like they'll just be like, oh, I got a shark, I got a bird, and you know, you pull like a Mookie Betts autograph, like, oh yeah, yeah, you guys have that one. This
yeah,
one's nothing.
That one's for me. Yeah. That one's for mom and dad.
Exactly. Yeah, this is no big deal. Don't worry about that one. Oh man. Yeah, that's a really fun one for the kids. And you know, just again, yeah, reminds you why we're all doing it. So let's get back to baseball cards. In your PC, I'm assuming a pretty Dodger-heavy PC from what I've gathered, you've seen on social media. What are the prized possessions in the personal collection?
My most prized possession is my Kershaw, the gold variation, 2007, Topps Chrome, 2008 Topps Chrome.
Yeah.
No, Topps paper, sorry. I was thinking Topps Chrome. I want the reprint Topps Chrome.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one that I've been looking for, but it's hard to come by. So,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. And, you know, and he's one of those pitchers, we talked about it before on the show, that he is sort of one of the exceptions among pitchers when it comes to the secondary market, where I think his stuff is, especially the way he's pitching right now, his stuff is only going to keep climbing, you know, and so something like that card you have is just like a true grail that I'd imagine you, that is not leaving the collection anytime soon.
Not at all. I want more.
No, yeah.
I need to pick some more up at the National.
Yeah. Because
those are really hard to come by too, especially like with crispy corners. Yeah,
exactly. What do you think, by the way, how much longer do you think he's got? How much does he have left in the tank? How many years do you think the Kershaw's got left in him?
I'm telling myself he'll retire this year. He'll retire a Dodger for sure.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, I tend to think he's if he wasn't going to go to a different team this offseason, then it seems like this is the last year. But retiring after the season, I think, is boy, that would be something, especially the way he's pitching right now. Just set the all-time Dodger record, which is just an incredible feat for strikeouts. Again, I say this as a Giants fan who, like, I think it's funny if you ask Giants fans, who's the Dodger, if you had to pick one, I think most will say Kershaw. That just a good guy, and just you can't deny what he did, what he has done on the field.
I get that a lot from Giants fans, but I don't have a Giants player that I think I respect the same way. I'm just kidding. You know,
I respect the odds.
No, Bumgarner is someone that I've looked to, you know, just by loving pitching so much. How he could get it done in the postseason, that I do appreciate him too.
Do you have any Giants in your collection in the non-Dodger arena? Any Giants in the collection, or is that just
not
a big no-no? Yeah,
no. Particularly on this, as far as my personal collection, it's mostly Dodgers. Yeah, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say, and this is, you know, I usually will, like, before the season, I'll grab a few cards that I'll go, like, okay, if they're like 25 or under, and I think they have a really promising future, and their stuff is, I think, underpriced, I'll get a few cards. And I realized this season, I was like, oh, I grabbed a Walker Buehler, I grabbed a Gavin Lux, and what I grabbed, I was like, oh no. My personal collection is riding on the success of the Dodgers all of a sudden. What have I done?
I love it.
Yeah,
so. Those are definitely good picks too. I tend to go, you know, just National League in general too, but not that it matters anymore, but you know that we have DH, but I do like Ozzy, Albies, Ronald Acuna, trying to pick up some Tatis too, just like you said, like those young players with a lot of potential, and they're just fun to watch, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Albies, I think, is such an underrated guy in the hobby. I mean, Acuna and Tatis, true superstars on the field and in the trading card world. But Albies is a guy that I feel like I have been I've seen now it is starting to gain a little momentum in the hobby. Some collectors saying his stuff is really undervalued and underappreciated. So I'm glad you mentioned his name, because I'm totally on board with the Albies love in the hobby. Let's do a little more.
Those are some of my pickups this weekend. That's
nice. Yeah, I'll be all for it. Even if he was, I think I saw him like yelling at his teammate. Hey, you got to run the bases a little faster. If anyone out there hasn't seen the video, it's actually pretty funny. So I highly recommend it. Let's talk a little on the field with this team. The Dodgers and the Giants series is starting at this episode coming out the day of game one, the first game of the series. I just feel like this last year has been remarkable with this rivalry, and it's I think baseball is better when this rivalry is firing all cylinders. I mean, I think we're biased that I would say this is the best rivalry in baseball, especially right now. And there's a you know, it's just exciting to see these two teams really firing on all cylinders. What do you think? I feel like, I mean, again, we're talking, I'm a Giants fan and you're a Dodger fan, so I feel like we know what our answer is when we say what's the best rivalry in baseball, but this has got to be it right now, right?
I think so too. It has to be the most historical rivalry, and obviously it's infamous. We have a lot of history, tragic history that comes with it too. So just, you know, the history more than anything you could say. I don't know if you could say the best, but it's definitely a rivalry. Sometimes people try to put that name on things that on teams that aren't necessarily rivalries, but we can say throughout history that Dodgers Giants has been a rivalry. So
yeah, I can name a team that is just a little further south from the Dodgers, yeah, who I know ESPN and MLB Network, they want to make that a rivalry, but yes. I'm sorry, until the Padres do something, not gonna be a rivalry. Sorry.
Exactly. There's got to be some winning from both parties involved.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is why it's so funny. Through the years, it was like, you know, the Cardinals and
Celtics.
Yeah, exactly. Like I feel like baseball pumped up like Cardinals and Cubs for years, and it was like before the Cubs had done anything, it's like, oh, this is a little one sided. Even Red Sox Yankees up until, you know, about 20 years ago was the same thing. I guess you could say the same thing about the Giants and Dodgers till about 10 years ago. But hey, I'd say a little more even footing now. And I guess that leads me to my next question. Do you think that this rivalry gets overlooked by a lot of fans as well? I know that's, again, kind of crazy to say, but I feel like last year there was a lot of fans who had to almost be reminded, especially with the Padres stuff going on, that this is the one. This is the classic rivalry that that everyone, when it's on, it is as good as anything in baseball.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it, though, that the media controls the narrative a lot. So, you know, they try to push certain things, and as generations grow, maybe it'll turn into this supposed rivalry. But yeah, growing up, it was always, for me, Giants Dodgers. So
yeah, it is the one. Again, where I know, mm-hmm, I think the baseball world right now is kind of like revolving around New York with what the Mets and the Yankees are doing right now. But I think for the next couple days, at least, everything will come back to LA. That'll be the center of the baseball universe for a little bit. As a Dodger fan. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
As a Dodger fan currently, I would say in the past, since 2017, there is one team I hate more.
I think I might know who that is. Yeah,
that I've never felt so much disdain for a team.
Yeah, I would say you're not alone in that. I think most people tend to agree. Yeah, you know, that was that team in Houston might have done some things that they weren't supposed to. So, yeah, that one definitely, I think, you know, it's funny. We always talk about it too, how it's like, it's crazy that that team, I still don't think players on that team have not recovered here in the hobby, where there's guys like, I think like Kyle Tucker right now is like the hottest player on the planet. Wasn't part of that 2017 debacle, and yet like his stuff.
I don't understand. Like, one of my things I don't understand is the love Yordan doesn't get during the season.
Yeah.
And yeah, he does something crazy in the postseason, and now everybody's buying him up, but people forget about him very easily too.
Yeah.
He's one of the hot young stars. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. The quietest, like 45 home run potential guy out there. It's weird. But yeah, I mean, he was, that series he had in the ALCS last year was maybe one of the best offensive performances like we have ever seen in the playoffs. And yeah, I totally agree. Those guys, again, they're not Bregman, they're not Springer, they're not Altuve. they as far as we know had nothing to do with that stuff. But understandably so, the Astros not recovering in the eye of the public perception. So I did have one more thing I wanted to say with the Giants and the Dodgers, because it kind of has that feeling again of like we are on a collision course again. The Giants and Dodgers are like, if you look at all the numbers, I know the Mets have the best record, but all of the other things, the run differential and the pitching numbers and all that, like it's the Giants and the Dodgers again. Could you as a fan take another playoff series against those two teams? I was having a fun time, but at the same time, I was like, I don't think my heart could take this again.
Yeah, that's what I say every year too. That would be truly heartbreaking. So you're right. I get nervous about stuff like that.
Yeah.
To lose a series like that. So you're right. I try to save my emotions for the closer we get. So especially since, like, you know, the last couple World Series that we lost and stuff. I've been trying not to be so emotional with baseball, honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
To save myself.
Yeah, I feel you. You know, there's certain things that happen in our lives that maybe make, you know, put things in perspective. That helps, but it's, you know, you still, it's especially with the bitter rivals, it's easy to get caught up in that moment. If they do indeed meet in the playoffs again, which an NLCS matchup would be great for baseball. Not so much for the heart rate of Northern and Southern California residents.
I do want to ask you, what do you think about Joey Bart?
I'm excited, mostly very excited about Joey Bart. The strikeouts worry me. He is really, really strikeout prone right now, but to me, the thing that gives me confidence is like when he is like his on base is pretty good. Like when he is swinging, he's swinging hard, like he's hitting the ball hard, and the pitching staff really likes him. So that to me is enough. Like if the staff is like, he's our guy, I'm all for it. And you know what? He learned under Buster Posey. So there's a lot
better defensively.
Yeah, defensively, which is not the thing I would have said going into the season. I think the thing I was worried about was how does he do behind the plate? So, and the bat will come along. So now it's kind of the opposite where I think the bat's eventually going to get there. I think it's good to know that the glove is something that they can count on. So feel good about it.
What about the love for catchers in general? This is just a question I ask a lot of people. I'm just curious.
No,
like Molina doesn't get enough love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing I think too with Bart is I don't think it gets much better in the hobby.
Like, yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah. If you've got Bart, like now is kind of the time.
I've been selling all my Bart. I had a lot of Bart pieces.
Yeah.
I bought a collection with like a ton of autos and stuff. So
yeah.
I was curious about him.
Yeah. I think that's probably why. I mean, even if he has like a great career, because like even Buster Posey doesn't sell like crazy. Like he sells okay, but I mean, a guy who by some accounts is going to be in the Hall of Fame, like doesn't sell nearly as well as guys who have half the accolades.
I like Will Smith a lot, and that's he's somebody I've been thinking of buying too, but I'm shying away from it because of the catcher thing in general. So I know like Buster Posey is hard for me to talk about, you know, older players because they just don't have nice cards. I think that's a big reason why a lot of them don't sell as much as these newer players, because they don't have gold firsts, you know?
Right.
But
right.
It's really hard to compare them, but it is the no love for catchers things is also a thing, and it's weird because they're everyday players.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean with pitchers, you get it, but yeah, with the catchers it is really strange, and I don't know what it is. I know there's less like offensive potential maybe with the catcher, the numbers don't jump out as much, but like yeah, like a guy like Allie Rushman is still selling really well, but I think the same thing's gonna happen where he's gonna get called up. And then suddenly the market just
shoot up.
It'll be
back down.
Exactly. It'll be crazy for a couple weeks and then, you know, go back to normal. Even if he has like a 30 home run season and makes like five straight all-star games, like, yeah, doesn't matter. It's very weird. Yeah. Very, very weird. The hobby is a strange place sometimes that I think I was like swooping up like so many pitchers and catchers originally when I got back into it. I'm like, why are they so cheap? And then I looked, I'm like, oh, cause they don't sell. That's why they're cheap. So.
Exactly. I know. Yeah. I'm still like, you know, sticking to my guns and buying what I like, but that's just something that I think about too. Yeah, you just have to be a power hitter, I guess, to sell in the hobby.
Yeah,
it's either Vlad, Acuna.
Yeah, exactly. You got to be a power guy or like at least have like a speed combo there, like Acuna or Otani, like, you know, or sort of be sort of like an Otani where you're just like completely like you're a unicorn. But yeah, that's really what it comes down to. Cause yeah, like, you know, like even Clayton Kershaw for what he has done, like obviously his stuff's super expensive, but like, he's the best pitcher of his generation. Like he's going to be the greatest Dodger pitcher of all time. And he sells about the same as like,
he's going to be the greatest Dodger pitcher of all time. And Sandy Koufax is also a Dodger. So that's kind of insane. If you think about it. Yeah. His parts be a lot more expensive.
Yeah, exactly. Especially because Koufax is stuff, but you know, there's the vintage element to it too with Koufax. But yeah, you would think that eventually it comes around with Kershaw.
He's like I see it as like, okay, you say Babe Ruth's the best Yankee, right? But you also have Derek Jeter, who's kind of like, well, who is the best Yankee when you compare those two?
Right.
I mean, it's still right. Babe Ruth, but I'm making that call and stuff. But it's just crazy that he's up there. You know, he will be one of those three guys. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's crazy when you really do take a step back and you realize what you've been watching now for over a decade. And, you know, you kind of knew it at the moment that this guy's the best, but like to see the body of work now.
Exactly.
After, you know, 12 years, exactly. 15, almost 15 years is pretty remarkable that we all got to watch him. It's going to be a great series. It's going to be a great year, I think, for these two teams. I'm going to predict right now, I think there is going to be some sort of brawl or something. Benches are going to clear at one point this season because if you've seen anything that the Giants have been doing, they have been like, they've made it their goal to just get under the skins of every single team, bunting up 10-0, stealing bases up 12-2. So we saw it last year. Dave Roberts got pretty upset with Gabe Kapler not announcing the starting pitcher. I think it was like, I can't remember what game it was, but I think it was in the middle of July or something. And he announced starting pitcher maybe 2 hours before the game started. And Dave Roberts was not a fan. So only a matter of time, I think, till these teams go at it.
Have you ever been to a Dodger game with Giants gear on?
You know, I have been to Dodger Stadium. I actually went, oh gosh, what year was it? Maybe 14. It was the day after Yasiel Puig basically fought the entire Arizona Diamondbacks team. I went to the day after, which I was super bummed. I was like, I want to see Puig when he was just absolutely rake and go crazy. I wore my World Baseball Classic Team USA hat. I chickened out. I should have worn my Giants gear. I should. They were playing the Diamondbacks, so I was like, do I wear it? And decided not to. I didn't want to bring.
Say no. Yeah, I've never been to a Giants game, but my husband did, and he did wear Dodger gear, and it was an experience for him and his friends. Well, that was when we were younger, but yeah, I would never do that. So
yeah, I think that, like you said, that maybe those days have passed where I will wear a
exactly
neutral, I'll wear the MLB logo. That's about it. Just I'm just
you're
here. I just hope
in enemy territory.
Yeah, I just hope both teams have fun today. That's what I would tell them. probably a wise decision, but again, great. I should say this might be I might get some Giants fans upset with me when I say this. I really like Dodger Stadium. I like going to watch baseball games at Dodger Stadium. I think it's a great venue. I mean, if you can deal with the parking, like, it's a great spot to watch a game. This is a weird thing, but I like that it's symmetrical, which you don't get in a lot of ballparks. So there you go. I think Dodger Stadium is a really nice spot to watch a baseball game.
I appreciate that because I have the opposite sentiment sometimes. Just getting in there is so difficult.
Yeah.
So sometimes it detracts me from going, knowing that it's going to take me an hour and a half to get out of that park. So, but same thing. I love Petco Park. I rather watch a Dodger game there.
Oh, Petco is awesome. It's probably my favorite ballpark outside of now Oracle Park in San Francisco. Petco is an incredible place to watch a baseball game. Anybody who hasn't been, like, have to go. Must go. Must watch.
So we just have the best baseball parks on the West Coast. That's what we just decided. Yeah.
I think so. I mean, you know, there's a team across the bay from the Giants that
maybe not, but they need to get out. Well, where do you see the A's moving to? That's an interesting question.
Again, I think I'm being ever the optimist, but I think they stay in Oakland. I think there's too much momentum recently to leave Oakland. The city council wants to get it done. The county wants to get it done. There's just some little hurdles here and there, but I think there's not so much that they can't. But at the same time, I really don't know. I think it's, I would say 60-40. I think 60% I think they stay, 40% the Las Vegas A's are probably a thing. So we'll see. I would just
love to have them in Vegas. I would love to have a ballpark in Vegas. It's so much fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that it would be a lot of fun. I mean, to go to Vegas and catch a ball game in the middle of summer, get out of 115 degree heat and go to a nice, like, I would imagine a stadium with a roof where it's, you know, air conditioning in there. You get to watch a ball game. There's worse ways to spend an afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I hope they stay because it's nice, you know, it's nice like with the Dodgers and Angels. It's nice to have, you know, they're not a two-team city, but to have sort of teams within, you know, 20-30 minutes of each other, and same with the Giants and A's. It's fun to have that dynamic. So I do really hope that they stay.
So. Yeah, I don't understand, honestly, the rivalry that Dodgers and Angels have. Dodgers and Angels fans have with each other. I appreciate both teams. I mean, I grew up a Dodger fan forever, but I really like the Angels right now. I think, especially this season, they're doing. I think they have some nice players that could get them not far, but far enough, maybe.
maybe a playoff appearance.
Yeah,
I mean, there's six spots now up for grabs in the playoffs. So if the Angels, I think the Angels will be one of those teams. They're off to a great start. It's good to see Mike Trout healthy and hitting like we know he can. But yeah, I'm in the same boat with the Giants and A's. I enjoy watching the A's. I think, though, Angels and A's fans would say, the little ones just peeking in, see what's going on. Oh, that's all good. Angels and A's fans would say something like, oh yeah, you guys don't get it. You Dodgers and Giants fans, you guys don't get it, you know? So
It's kind of like Lakers Clippers too. I don't get that.
All right. Well, let's wrap things up with the last segment. we got a special guest.
This is the first time he's done this, actually.
Oh, nice. Well, welcome. You're making your grand debut. Who is joining us now on the show for the last segment?
Lucas.
Ah, Lucas. No joke. Mm-hmm. Actually, that was one of the names we had thinking about for our son. Was Lucas. So that's
your son's name?
Elliot.
Okay. Yeah. Elliot. Well, my youngest is also, he's a year and 3 months, and his name is Elias.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So we have just
that's a great name. Yeah. I know. Exactly. Exactly.
We call him Eli. We like the nickname Eli.
All right, let's wrap things up. Our final segment, as we do every week, the Taxi Squad, four players that we are calling up, sending down, or holding, buy, sell, hold, basically. First guy I want to talk about is Aaron Judge of the New York Yankees. Actually going to talk about a couple of Yankees to start things off here. Aaron Judge, five home runs in the past week. He looks incredible. The contract year right now, he is up for free agency at the end of the year. Tied second in baseball with home runs. Yankees, of course, owners of the best record in baseball. 2013 Bowman Chrome Refractor has sold, an auto sold on MySlabs for about $1,000 on May 1st, a BGS 9.5. Where are we at with Aaron Judge? Like I said, this is contract year. He may not be a Yankee at the end of the year. Are we calling him up? Are we buying him? Are we sending him down, selling him? Or are we staying? Are we holding on our Aaron Judge cards right now?
I'm selling. I just think that I like the first year of the season hype. So I always say, you know, selling at the first part of the season and then during the All-Star break, I would sell Aaron Judge because of his hot start, and then
yeah,
potentially be able to buy him before that trade at a cheaper price. So yeah,
I think so. There's a chance that he may not be a Yankee for much longer. Who knows? They I know they offered him a big deal this past offseason, said no. So if he hits the open market, it's going to be incredible to see what he can get. I think he'd like to stay a Yankee, so we'll see. I think he's still
definitely during those trade rumors is when you can stay away, but before then, I think there's still time to pick him up if you do sell him right now.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is still a good time for Judge, who I think has been sort of, I won't say undervalued in the hobby. I think pretty properly valued. Obviously, he had a huge peak his rookie year, but still very, very excited what he's doing with the Yankees. And I'll move quickly over to his teammate, Anthony Rizzo, who I kind of feel like for a lot of Yankees fans, the Rizzo signing was a little underwhelming. Thinking, especially when you had thoughts of Carlos Correa and all these really big free agents that were available this offseason, they end up with Rizzo and they end up with Donaldson. And yet Anthony Rizzo leads the league in home runs right now. He had a 3-homer game earlier this week. His 2010 first Bowman Chrome refractor auto, BGS 9.5, recently sold on eBay for $435. Rizzo is a guy that I feel like he could, after this contract's up, which I think he's got a club option for next year, I think he ends up being like a lifetime Yankee, because I don't see his value getting any better than where he is right now, especially hitting in that ballpark.
I don't know. I guess I just overthink things because I'm thinking like, is it short term or long term? But if I'm trying to make a short term play, I would definitely be buying him right now, because he is off to a hot start. And I think that, like you said, with the help of Aaron Judge, they could make they could look good around the All-Star break. But yeah, for as a long-term play, I would be holding him too.
Yeah, I think that Rizzo that ballpark really helps him. It's exciting to see him. He's one of those guys that, certain players, I think we could say there's certain guys who like go on the Giants or go on the Dodgers. You go, well, that guy looks like a Dodger. That guy just fits the jersey right. It looks right. He looks like a Yankee. He just looks like he fits the pinstripes right. He fits in and with New York. And so I think there's going to be a long and fruitful career ahead of him in New York. And hitting that ballpark is definitely going to do him a lot of favors. All right. We mentioned his team earlier. Manny Machado, a guy that I think we can both, again, there's a lot of things as Giants and Dodgers fans we can't agree on, but I think we can agree on our dislike of the Padres and of Manny Machado. So Manny Machado, though, second in MLB in average, top 10 in on-base percentage and slugging percentage to start the year. He leads baseball in hits. I was looking at the career numbers, and we are now getting in that territory where I think you have to start talking about, is Cooperstown a possibility for this guy? I mean, he has consistently performed. I should ask, actually, are there hard feelings, pretty hard feelings with Machado as a Dodger fan, as I know he had that half season and obviously the World Series ends with him at the plate. Where do you land on him as like a Dodger fan, and then where do you land on him here in the trading card market?
Yeah, as a Dodger fan, I can't say that I like him too much because of what you just said, but I think for baseball, it's all about personal accolade. So even though he hasn't been a winner, been on those winning teams, and he's on the Padres now, I think he's also a really great hold if you have him and buy for certain cards, because I think he'll be a Hall of Famer for sure.
Yeah, I think that Hall of Fame is a definite possibility at this point. And the fact that the Padres are performing as well as they are without Tatis in the lineup right now. Look, we joke about that team.
That's what we thought last year, and look what happened towards the end of the season.
That's true. That is very, very true. It is kind of a, like, I will wait and see. The Padres in 2020, you could say the benefit of a short season, they looked really good. And then last year, they fell apart, absolutely fell apart. And I think a part of it, I think a lot of people are saying like a lack of leadership. So it's kind of obviously Tatis coming back, but for Machado, I think to sort of prove that he can be the leader of this team, because as much as Tatis is the face, I think Machado is the guy that I think is sort of being seen as the leader on that squad. So kind of a make or break year for him in San Diego, I'd say. But I'm in agreement with you. I think that I think he is still kind of a bit of a hold right now, where maybe down the road, maybe like we've seen with like Pujols and Cabrera this year, where their value is going back up in trading cards because people are finally realizing that these guys have had incredible Hall of Fame careers.
Of Griffey, like winning is not necessarily important for baseball. It's all about personal accolades. They definitely have the numbers and the stats to prove their worthiness.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely does. One last guy. I always like to throw a wild card at the end of this. This is actually a guy. So if I were to tell you, this Los Angeles Angel currently leads baseball in batting average, on base percentage, and OPS. And his name is not Mike Trout. This one's a, like, you got to dig deep. It's not Otani. It's not Trout. It's Taylor Ward, who is currently.
I had like three names in my head right now. That was not one of them.
Yeah. It's like, you can keep going. It's not Rendon. It's not Jared Walsh. It's Taylor Ward. Look, I think it's like, this one's like a pretty easy sell, I feel like. I just saw that in orange.
If you have it.
Yeah. I would imagine there's not that many people holding on to Taylor Ward's cards, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I did just see that a first Bowman Chrome Auto orange sold for $1,500 on April 30th.
An orange first Bowman?
Yeah. Orange first Bowman from, I think 2015 was his year.
PSA 9, 10, or
BGS 9.5.
Wow. You know you can get an Aussie for cheaper than that. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's exactly the point, I think. So clearly people getting out while the getting's hot right now. But hey, good for him. He was a first round pick back in 2015. It's starting to click for him. And like we said, that Angels team, I think, is an exciting and fun team. Again, the Instagram at Mama Breaks is where you can find her. Stephanie, thank you so much. And hey, thank you, special guest star Lucas today. I appreciate that. I have to swallow my pride a little bit. Good luck to your Dodgers. Except when they're playing the Giants, especially when they're playing the Giants. But I'm excited. It's going to be fun. The rivalry has never been better. So thank you again for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Big thanks once again to Stephanie. Follow her on Instagram at Mama Breaks, one of the fastest growing Instagram accounts in the hobby. Check it out. And of course, watch her on at Card Shop Live. And of course, you can listen to us, more of us, right here on this very podcast network. Make sure to subscribe if you have not already to Mojo Break Sports Card Show. That's how you get new episodes of this show every Tuesday. And you get new episodes of our flagship sports card podcast, The Hype, every Thursday. And for clips and videos and much, much more, make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, Mojo Break Media, Mojo Break Media. And hey, check out our brand new contest. We are doing an incredible giveaway here on Mojo Break Media. It is Mojo Break's next top breaker. Check out our Twitter account, our Instagram account, all our social media accounts. Go to mojobreak.com/topbreaker for more info. You could win a case of 2021 Flawless Basketball and a trip to the National in Atlantic City. I'm not joking. I'm serious. We're just giving it away. Huge stuff. Can't wait to see the submissions that people put in. It should be incredible. Hope you enjoyed the show. Until next week, I'm Cody Pasby, signing off for another episode of Wax Packs and Warning Tracks.